As a result of a disconnect, the church now is on its way to failure because sickness has set in. Disease has now set in. Because now the body has gone contrary to what the head has outlined. I wish y'all just understood. We blame stuff that goes on in the church on one or two people. All of us do. But when you look at the teaching that I'm trying to show forth today, it's everybody's responsibility. It's everybody's. Because everybody has contributed to it. See, it bothers me today, I think it's a lack of understanding, that there, when there's a problem in the church, at first, you know what? I was telling somebody, can I throw this right there? Can I say this real quick? Can I say, watch this. I was telling someone the other day, I says, you know what? I said, it's amazing to me. That the first thing we put down when there's trouble is the church. What about the stuff in our life that's crazy and chaotic? Why does the church have to be the first thing we run from? When God said, that's the stuff in your life you ought to be running from. Why do you put the, and how can you put the church down if you're connected? Y'all ain't hearing me. How? Because when you put me down, you put yourself down because we're connected. When I put you down, I put myself down because we're connected. According to the Bible. And according to what Jesus has said. Are y'all following me? Am I in the Word? Well, now, what happens then when there is a disconnect, the Bible word for this in 1 John is fellowship. What happens when there is a disconnect? What happens when we break fellowship? What happens? Now, when we break fellowship with God, let me tell you a couple of things. I don't have time to get into the list of them. But let me tell you a couple of things that happen. Number one, our joy goes out of the door. Because when you're really being connected to Christ, you know when you left him. Because now my joy is gone. My joy is gone. You see, can I tell y'all something? Can I tell you something? Don't get mad at me now because I love you to death. Well, I love you. I won't die for you, but I love you. Can I say this? People who drink, and there's no such thing as social drinking. Let me look down because I don't want to look down. I'm going to look down. People who drink, okay, and people who smoke, the reason why those things happen on many occasions is because there is something internally going on and we're trying to numb the pain. We're trying to forget that life really do exist. And so if I can numb it, if I can forget about the stress that I go through on a daily basis, that helps me. But in reality, when I'm numb back up, if when I sober, I got to go do it again, which now is going to form a habit because I just don't know how to deal with the pain that I'm facing internally. So I got to do something to help me to deal with the reality that life really does exist and life is tough, life is hard, life is disappointing. But when I'm connected to Jesus, when I'm connected, he told me the gates of hell should not prevail. I got to tell myself, God, you told me because I'm a member of your body that the gates of hell, you never told me would come against me, but you told me they would prevail. Yeah. So I don't have to drink nothing, I don't have to smoke nothing, I don't have to do some stuff to try to get some peace. But when I break fellowship with God, I got to do something right because I felt the connection leave and now I don't have any joy, I don't have any peace. Because ultimately, you can't have those things. Let me tell you something. If Jesus is the producer of peace, if Jesus is the producer of joy, then how can I have it without him if he produces it? Because one of the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy,
Those,
yeah, there you go.
Oh, tell me about the Bible said.
And so those are produced by the fruit of the Spirit. So when I become saved, the Spirit of the Lord comes to live in me. He tells me this: do you not know, Larry, that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit?
What do you mean?
What do you mean? What I'm telling you is, I need somewhere to live. I need somewhere to live because I'm just out and about. And I need someone to somewhere to live. Meet the Holy Spirit. Larry, can I come? Because he will ask. Can I come to live in you? Not with you, but in you. Stop telling folks the Holy Spirit is with me. That's your problem. You just identified. You don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you got him with you. And that's not what the Bible teaches. Can I talk to you?
Come on.
So then, when the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, he now, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, takes up residence in my life. So every day, when life hits me, the Spirit in me keeps producing joy. Keeps producing peace.
Come on.
Keeps producing love. Why? Because it's not me that is doing it. It is the Spirit that is in me that is producing it. Amen? It is the Spirit that is within me. So when you don't have the Spirit of God living on the inside, you're going to have a hard time being joyful. You're going to have a hard time. You can be happy. Because happiness is dependent upon what happens. Got some money enough to pay my bills? I'm happy. All right? Everybody treat me good? I'm happy. I've had a good day. I'm happy. Because happiness is dependent upon or contingent upon what happens. Unlike joy. The Spirit does not produce happiness. That's man's stuff. You got to do your own stuff to get happy. You know how we used to say in the church, God, I got happy today. Nah, there's no such thing. What the Spirit does is produce joy. What that simply means is, when your world is crumbling, have you ever had that go on? When your world is falling down around you, but you can still have joy. When that's when you know the Holy Spirit is moving in your life. Because when you want to jump off the building, but the Holy Spirit within keeps you sane. Keeps you sane. Keeps you sane. I said it keeps you grounded. It's the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you now? Because I'm going to get out of here. Can I tell you now that what happens, I think is where I was about to go, what happens when I break fellowship with God because of something that I'm doing in God's peace? What happens? Well, when my fellowship is gone, my joy leaves. When my fellowship is gone, my peace leaves. Let me tell you something. I'm talking about me. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Jesus, if you've been connected to Jesus, and you know what it means to be connected? Let me tell you something. When there's something going on in your life that Jesus is trying to get our attention about, you know you can't rest. There's some tossing. I'm speaking for me. I don't know about you. But there's a tossing and a turning. You can't rest with nothing. There's an unrest. I must ask myself, why am I restless? Why is there no rest in my life? Why is there no rest? Something is wrong. It gotta be. You know why I said that? Because if God tells me, he gives me rest. Now the doctor told me one time there's a difference between rest and sleep. I ain't even talking about that right now. I'm just talking about Jesus. He said, why am I not rest? If you told me, Lord, that you give me rest, why am I not rest? What is it? Unrest, if my connection is right, something Jesus is trying to tell me. He's trying to get my attention. He's trying to show me something. He's trying to tell me something. And until I listen to him, I'm going to have a level of unrest. Now, unrest don't mean necessarily
that you go to bed at night, can't sleep, unrest can be that you can be maneuvering through the day, but you're not peaceful. You're not peaceful. See, y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. You're not, but you got to be connected enough to understand. So let me go. Let me tell you this. So not only does peace go out the door, not only does joy go out the door, but let me tell you something about prayer. And this is key. When fellowship is broken as a result of something that I have done or is doing, and my fellowship is broken, I'm gonna show you in the scripture. I'm gonna show you in the scripture where Jesus speaks about this. Would you please go real quick to John chapter 9, verse number 31? Would you go real quick? Go real quick to John chapter 9, verse 31. Please have been over there. Am I doing okay?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Yeah, look real quick. John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verse 31. I think that's where we are. That's where I need you to be unbelievable. It's not refining it. John 9, 31. John 9, 31. Are you there? Alright, are you there? Now, what I'm going to get you to do, y'all, come on, man, y'all, I need y'all to read this. I need to read it together with one of my, Okay? I'm going to count on you. Let's read this together. John 9, 31. Let me know you're ready. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to count for you. Let's read this together. No, John 9, 31. 1, 2, 3, 3.
Now we know that God hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and do his will,
God says, I don't care you in Egyptian. Well, what is a sinner? You're not a sinner. Don't classify yourself as a sinner. You're not a sinner. Let me tell you what a sinner is. A sinner is someone who practices sin. Now, if you practice sin, they call you a sinner. Okay? I'm not talking about perfection. Because Lord, those love us in here are nowhere near perfect. We can't meet Jesus' standard. But I'm talking about when you live day to day, that you know you're going to sin. You just know it. You look to do it. You know it don't even bother you. There's a major disconnect. That's what he says in the scripture. He says, now we know, and the reason, I don't have time to explain that, but the reason Jesus makes that statement is because if you read above and beyond that, you know, it was a blind man situation. And they were praying for him and couldn't get anything done, if you will. And so they were questioning this blind man. They said, well, who opened your eyes and all this kind of stuff? And, you know, they were trying to trap Jesus. You know how we do when we're trying to trap somebody. So they were trying to trap Jesus. And so the blind man said, well, guess what? He said, take one. Guess what we just found out? We just found out that now we know that Jesus, K-N-O-W, Jesus does not hear a sinner. Well, who's he here? If any man be a what? A worshiper of him and do what? And do his will, it is him that what? He hears. So there we go. We know now we know how to hear a brother. I know that I have to do the will of the Lord, and I know that I can't be practicing sin. Because as in the scripture, then, because if I'm practicing sin and I'm not doing the will of God, then he ain't going to hear me. Then I was telling someone this at work, and they got all belligerent people. Talking, well, that's why I don't do the Jesus thing. But if you don't hear them, how you supposed to go to them? I said, if you practice in sin, the only thing you can go to God with is Lord, forgive me.
That's it, right? That's it.
And I repent of my sin. He'll hear that because he wants you to turn. But you just can't go to him and say, Lord, I need you to fix this, and we're practicing stuff. Is that all right with everybody? Now, so when we break fellowship with him, that's a reason of unanswered prayer. Brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but can I tell you something? One of the things, I'm very inquisitive. And I'm intuitive, but I use the spiritual word, a discerning spirit. I ask myself many times a day, Kevin, why? I don't know if Jesus can tell me what, but I ask him why. And the reason that I ask why is because at the end of the day, if I'm praying for something, right, and I've been praying for quite a while, but yet there's a scripture that says the prayers of the righteous avail as much and are very effective. I've been praying for something 6 months that has not materialized. I go. I said, now, Lord, I don't know what this is all about, but you know you and I have been having this conversation for a minute. And to this day, I've not seen you move. What is the issue? Jesus will take me back to something that is broken, tore up in my life. Is that that's why you live? I'm talking me. Huh? But you got to check yourself. That would be an example because see, I can't say that about you because I don't know. You can't say that about me. Only us can look at it. And if you're connected to the Lord, he will show you. Let me tell you something. I told someone. told somebody else, I said, you know what? I said, we don't have to sit up there and ask God what we do.